The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now let's listen to Sheikh Salim Bimji.
My dear brothers and sisters in Iman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This evening, as we continue in our remembrance and the commemoration of the tragedy of Karbala and the supreme sacrifice of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam and his family and friends, we mark this plateau of what we call the 10th, the Dasmo of the Imam. And we recognize the fact, first and foremost, that these events that we have, for example, the 10th, the 20th, the 30th, they don't have a historical significance to them. It's not like the day of Ashura, which was foretold by Rasulullah. It's not like Muharram, the day of Ashura, which the Imams of Ahlul Bayt would remember and actively remember and teach their children to commemorate. But yet these events, again, the 10th, the 20th, the 30th, as we lead up to the day of Arba'in, the Chelum, that these are opportunities that we have put within our community to remember the tragedy of Karbala, to keep the message of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam alive, and to be able to hopefully gain from the teachings of the Quran and Ali Muhammad alayhi wassalatu wassalam. In chapter number 21, which is Surah Al-Anbiya, in verse number 18, Allah alludes to this reality. And he says in the text, he says, بَلْ نَقْتِفُ بِالْحَقِّ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَيَدْمَغُهُ فَإِذَا هُوَ زَاهِقٌ وَلَكُمْ وَيْلٌ مِمَّا تَصِفُونَ. He says that we hurl truth against falsehood. We take truth and we thrust it, or we throw it against falsehood, Allah says, and we crush the head of falsehood, of batil. We destroy falsehood in its totality. And then he says that falsehood will eventually vanish. So this is a reality, brothers and sisters, that no matter how long it may take, no matter what the challenges and difficulties are in human existence, that falsehood, as Allah says, will eventually vanish. It will be subdued. It will be taken over by the light of the truth. And indeed, when we study Karbala in these opportunities that we have, from those first 10 or 11 or 12 days of Muharram all the way till the day of Arba'in, we recognize the fact that truth conquered over falsehood. Although, yes, Abu Abdullah and the family and companions, as we mentioned, were, and as we all know, were killed on the day of Ashura, but that doesn't diminish the fact that they set the ball in motion that the earlier prophets had put into place, that Rasulullah had put into motion, that the father, Amir al-Mu'mineen, had manifest, that Imam Hassan alayhi salam had put in. And then that will obviously continue until the end, until the return of the 12th Imam, Imam al-Hujjah, ajjalallahu ta'ala, farajuhu sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And in our case, it's not even just a battle of families, you know, because some people have tried to play this off as a battle between Banu Umayyah and Banu Hashim. And if you study the history of these two families, you see how close they are related, because you have Rasulullah on one end of the family tree. If you go back to the great-grandfather of Rasulullah, so that's going back three generations, the father of the Prophet, his grandfather, his great-grandfather. You have Banu Hashim that come from that lineage. And if you look at the great-great-great-grandfather of the Prophet, so four generations up, he has twins. One is Hashim, one is Abdul Shams. From Hashim, you get the Banu Hashim, the family of Rasulullah. From Abdul Shams, if you go down the other tree, you get Umayyah and his family. So you have Banu Umayyah. So actually, the rivalry, we can say, was a one-sided rivalry, which began with Abdul Shams and his son Umayyah, and their animosity for Hashim and his family. And there is a lot of historical background. I won't go into it tonight, maybe another night, but there's a historical understanding why there was this rivalry between Abdul Shams and Umayyah and Banu Hashim. And even, you know, people have asked, well, how did Muawiyah get so powerful in Sham? How did Yazid, or why did they even go to Sham? And there is a historical background that goes back to the time of Abdul Shams and Umayyah and Hashim, and why they ended up in Sham, and why they gained popularity and notoriety and allowed and facilitated people like Muawiyah to take the governorship of that region. But basically, this entire tragedy of Karbala, Haq against Batil, really begins 4 generations before the coming of Rasulullah. And that basically continued and manifested into what we see on the plains of Karbala in the year 61 after the Hijrah. Now, obviously, I want to fast forward to the event that we want to mark tonight, which is this 10th of the Shuhada of Karbala. And as I said, that it's from the Quranic perspective, although the Quran is not giving us historical narrative just to analyze or know history, but we can gain an insight from the Quranic verses about the history of past generations and how we understand the world of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam and where we are tonight. But you know, as we commemorate this 10th of the Imam, the 10 days after the day of Ashura, we all know, and I will remind us if we have forgotten, that the tragedies of Ali Muhammad didn't end on Ashura. The tragedies of Ali Muhammad, yes, the Shahadats or the Shuhada had lost their lives, but death in a way is easy, you know, because once you're dead, that's it. Then your soul goes back to Allah. As Surah Al-Fajr would say, Ya ayatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. That return back to your Lord, pleased with Allah and Him being pleased with you. Shahada is easy, but what happened to Bibi Zainab alayhi salam? What happened to Imam Sajjad alayhi salam? What happened to the women? What happened to the children? From the 10th of Muharram all the way to the day of Arba'een, we can never forget, brothers and sisters. And it is in these days after Ashura that we remember the fact that after the tragedy of Karbala, as the caravan has been forced to leave Karbala, as they cross through the bloodstained plains of Karbala, as Imam Zain al-Abidin, as he's walking, or if, as some narrations say, he's on the camel, and he looks down and he sees the mutilated body of his father, Abu Abdullah, the lifeless body, the headless body, the one that had been trampled by the horses, those 10 horses that had been forced to crush the ribcage of Abu Abdullah, that Abu Abdullah's body lays on the plains of Karbala. The enemies have given a burial to their soldiers, but there is nobody there to bury Abu Abdullah. That Imam Sajjad alayhi salam looks off of the camel to the body of his father. And what can he do in the state that he's in? وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلِبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ
اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.